Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy trade deadline eve. How we doing on this Monday afternoon in New York City? Evan and Tiki. Tiki is off today. He's got some big football-related assignment, I think. But he'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be here for the rest of the week. Sean will try to talk some sense into me, as will Tommy Lugauer, because I'm a little emotional right now. And I'll tell you exactly why. I've got a brain and I've got a heart, okay? My brain tells me a lot of things that are, you know, they make sense.
Oh, do they?
Like, my brain tells me the New York Mets just lost two games to the Atlanta Braves. They split a four-game series. Not the end of the world. That's what my brain tells me. My brain tells me the Mets are still in a wild card spot. My brain tells me Sal Licata did not jinx the New York Mets. My brain tells me a lot of, you know, reasonable things about the Mets as they go into the trade deadline. But then you've got this heart. See this heart right here?
I see it.
No, you see a man boob.
Well, I will say it's not as cold as it used to be.
That's right. Man boob heart. I have a heart, and that heart just tells me things that I feel, okay? Mm. On Friday night, I was at Citi Field. I was at Citi Field with both of my children. I was there with my wife, and I was having a good old time. The Mets hit three home runs in an inning. They scored seven runs against the Braves, and I'm happy.
Fireworks?
I'm feeling good. We ended up seeing fireworks on the field, by the way, Sean.
Oh, you got invited to that season ticket holder perk?
Season ticket holder perk.
Oh, it's all worth it, Ev.
So it was all good and it was all fun. And in the course of 162 games, there's a moment sometimes that you remember years later, good and bad. We had the argument during the hockey season that the Rangers beating the Islanders in the stadium series was going to be featured on the DVD.
Yep, we did.
We remember back in 2009 when the Yankees beat the Braves with a Francisco Cervelli home run. That turned out to be the win that really sparked their season. And the Mets have had a lot of those good moments. When Kodai Senga went down like he was shot, and then the Mets responded on Saturday and Sunday by getting completely shut down, first by Spencer Schwellenbacher. That's a real person.
I'm aware. I saw him.
And then by the Atlanta Braves bullpen. I have this sinking feeling in my gut and in my heart that the Mets' high watermark of 2024 was Friday night before Senga went down. Am I being too crazy?
A little too crazy. I think there's plenty of room for negativity today with the Mets because, frankly, when you win those first two games versus the Braves, to me, a split was no longer acceptable. The Braves had been reeling. I totally get the negativity. You had to win that series. But you had to win it if you had dreams of really making this thing interesting and being the top wild card. And dare I say, sniffing the struggling Phillies and Dodgers down the line and feeling like you could be the Diamondbacks or you could be the Phillies of the last 2 years, Evan. But ultimately, the Mets are still what they should have been and can be. They're going to be right on the precipice of the last or fifth wild card spot. And the next nine games, by the way, are a perfect way to flush what happened the last 2 days when you're playing the Twins, Angels, Cardinals in between, and Rockies.
Oh, I agree. Look, dude, go out and beat the Minnesota Twins, and this sinking feeling that's in my man-moob heart could be flushed away. But I'm just being honest with you today that I can't get that out of my head.
Well, what?
I can't get the thought. And you know what it was? And this is why, as soon as Lugie talks, and I know he's going to be positive, and I need him to be positive today. I want positive Tommy Lugauer. But the difference I think I'm going to have with Tommy, and a lot of people listening, and I never normally do this, is the fact I was there Friday. I'm telling you, there was something in that building that died when Kodai Senga went down. We all felt it. It was a party all night long,
And then when Senga went down, there was like this, it was like a funeral, even though they held on and won.
Yeah, but Evan,
I'm telling you,
anytime you lose a player for a year and a player of the magnitude of a Kodai Senga, of course, and this goes for any sport, you are going to be deflated as a fan base and wonder how you recover. Is it the beauty, in many ways, the only one there of the Senga injury that you didn't count on him all year?
I agree with you.
And that him coming back was going to be a six-man rotation anyway. It is as minimal a loss as a team could have of a major player, I think, in this town a long time, because they've already rode the whole year without him.
Sean, Evan's brain completely agrees with you. Kodai Senga was a non-factor. I'd be the first to tell you. I almost forgot about his existence during the rehab. And I also didn't do what I've normally done with other young players or other star players, where I say, wait till blank comes back.
Yeah.
Wait till Aaron Rodgers comes back. Wait till Kevin Durant comes back. Wait till David Wright comes back. Like, I played that game my entire life. Never did that with Kodai Senga. So my brain would say, you're right. He was never a part of this team. I'm just telling you. You weren't there Friday.
I know I wasn't.
Mookie wasn't there Friday because no one gave him free tickets. I was there on Friday, and it was like this weird feeling, this crowd-like death when Senga went down, and then to respond by getting shut out, essentially, in back-to-back games. I know Pete hit the meaningless home run late on Sunday. That almost added to my worry, and that's why I'm being honest with you, and I try not to go too high and too low during the course of a regular season, because Brain Evan is yelling at Heart Evan. Brain Evan's like, shut up, you idiot. Brain Evan's like, dude, it's two games, calm down. But Heart Evan is really worried that when we recap the 2024 season, we're going to mention that Friday night. I'm telling you right now.
It depends what your expectations were. And you did state last week that if the Mets don't make the postseason, it becomes a major disappointment.
That's it. By the way, that's my expectation. Make the postseason.
They're making the postseason.
Oh, are they?
They are making the postseason. What changed? And what
are you, Sal Licata now?
No, I really feel this way.
Is the wild card race over?
The wild card race is over. This is the truth, Evan. And everybody can call me a Met hater all you want. The idea that with the Braves reeling, by the way, Lopez will be a big injury for them, depending on what that happened with the forearm tightness.
Yes, yes.
They're not going to catch the Braves. They're not going to be that top walker. The Braves will always find a way because they continue to find a way. That, to me, is what ended. But ultimately, are the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, even the Padres, who have been red hot, finally lost the game yesterday, are any of them looking like a team that you're going to, you know, strap on and go, of course, they're going to give a honk and a wave past the Mets, and the Mets are going to have series versus these teams coming up? I don't think so. And we have spent the last 2 months in this Mets surge laughing at the notion, whether it was Sal, whether it was me, of anybody talking about the Met locker room in years past. Mm-hmm. This is the best vibes the Mets have had in a room in some time. The OMG, the grimace, all of that stuff. I don't think that dies with a Kodai Senga injury and two losses. You just split with the Marlins last weekend, too. Mm-hmm. This is who the Mets are. They haven't won a four-game series all year. They are a fringe wild-card team that likely, because of the fact that David Stern seems to be in, going and trading for Jesse Winker, and I think more is to come, the bullpen, you hold your breath, they will have enough to get home. Even if it's the sixth wild card, they will have enough to get home.
Didn't work. He didn't get me out of my heart is still sunk. So that didn't work. It was a noble effort.
Okay.
I appreciate it. You used a lot of facts, but the problem is with Evan's heart, sometimes the facts don't work. My brain has talked to my heart for the last 48 hours, and it has not been effective. So maybe Positive Tommy can pull it off. Positive Tommy, who predicted that the Mets would sweep the Atlanta Braves. He was wrong about that. That's okay. You still have a winning record over the last few months. Can you talk Evan's heart out of feeling depression that Friday night was basically the high watermark of the season?
That's why I'm here. That's why Positive Tommy is here. You're right, Evan. I was not in the building on Friday, but I was obviously watching the game. I was watching Twitter. I got your text that there was an audible gasp in the stadium when Kodai Senga went down. And you could see it. Even the lady with the hot dog hat, she looked depressed. Everybody looked down. And I saw the thing that I've seen my entire life from Met fans.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deserve nice things. I'm here to tell you, we do deserve nice things, and we are going to get nice things. There's almost this guilt as Met fans where we're like, we feel guilty for existing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we share a town with the Yankees, and we're always waiting for another shoe to drop. We're always waiting for jinxes and mushes, and it brings out the negativity, whether it's a tweet from Sal, whether it's a concert, whether it's Senga going down. We are always waiting for the other shoe to drop, and here we go. We don't deserve nice things. Damn it, we do deserve nice things. Be positive. March on. This team we fell in love with didn't have Senga. This team we fell in love with is a damn good baseball team, and this team we fell in love with with is still in the postseason, and they're going to be in the postseason. Don't make any plans in October for vacations. We are going to be playing baseball. The Mets will be playing baseball. Yeah. And just like the Tin Man, Evan, we're going to get you that heart back.
I need that heart. And quite frankly, that was a nice attempt. I appreciate it. I'm still deeply concerned.
I think that we could also tell we are on the verge of an election in this country. Whatever political beliefs be damned, that was a lot of Trump in Tommy there. Or at least Shane Gillis doing Trump.
He tried his hardest.
Yeah.
I still have deep concerns that when we are sitting here, whenever we're sitting around, maybe it's Christmas dinner, and we're talking about the 2024 New York Mets.
Dinner. With the NFL on Netflix.
That's right. We're going to look back at that Friday night as the beginning of the end. And honestly, the only way to turn things, the only way for my heart to feel better, is to kick that Minnesota Twin ass over the next 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's why these games upcoming before they have that really long West Coast trip, it's really important they gotta cleanse themselves from what just happened. They had a down Braves team. They had a beaten Braves team. And they managed to kind of take their foot off of the gas.
They had things happen on Thursday night to start the series that never happened in Met Braves series.
Yes.
Moriano doesn't know how to field a ball, the safe call at third. That stuff never happens. And you're right, they let the foot off the gas. But ultimately, Evan, the lineup was completely silent the last 2 days.
That's why they lost, I agree.
But that's been the strength of the team. Does anybody think the depth of this Met lineup is not going to just keep hitting? Aren't they had a bad 2 days?
Well, look, here's the truth.
The worst team to have a bad 2 days against.
No, absolutely, and it was the worst timing of it.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and I'll certainly ask this to Tiki tomorrow, does an injury like that, no, I get Senga didn't pitch all year. Like, that's us as fans kind of just telling you, yeah, he didn't pitch this year. Who cares? I didn't think about him. Kodai Senga's in that locker room. He's a freaking human.
Yeah.
I wonder if him going down the way he did, and I don't know if they showed this on TV, but he hugged every infielder on his way out. He gave Lindor a hug. He gave Pete a hug. And then he left. I wonder if that injury, not from the baseball standpoint, because Wes, we understand he barely pitched this year, but I wonder if that does kind of deflate a room.
Perhaps on Saturday. Perhaps they come out Saturday and go, I can't believe we just lost Kodai, and the Braves were due to win a game in that. Yesterday, a second carryover when you get the fortunate of Lopez coming out of that game in the third inning and you go silent versus the bullpen until, obviously, Pete Alonso hit his homer. I don't think that's an excuse yesterday. And I know we're probably going to touch on this more. It's probably more also when you take the field like that and your stadium is half empty versus a division rival, that deflates you more than
so now you're blaming us? You're blaming Met fans?
Not the Met fans that were there.
Well, but I didn't go, so you're blaming me. I wasn't there Sunday.
You did go to two of the four games. You get a little bit of a pass. But Evan, be real on it. When you are a team in the midst of a pennant race the way the Mets are, in the midst of all the, keep using this word, the good vibes and everything, and your nemesis is in the building, and you have already taken two games from them, and it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. You can't tell me that when you take the field as a New York Met and you look up and you feel like you're on the Montreal Expos, that's not a little bit deflating.
So Sean's saying it's our fault. We screwed the whole thing up.
How did you not go to the game yesterday?
Well, the reality is it's the Mets' fault. They have to bribe us to go to games. That's the reality. When there's a giveaway, we pack the ballpark. When there's no giveaway, nobody's
that's
there.
That's a disgrace.
We'll get to that a little bit later on. Now, the other moment in a baseball season, and I stand by this because I've had my arguments with you. I've had my discussions with Tiki over the last few weeks and certainly with Yankee fans. I don't think you're that bad, and I was bound to turn. And I think specifically, not just the Jazz Chisholm trade, which I'm very high on, as I made clear last week, and I'll have a chance to back it up now. My prediction was if Jazz Chisholm ends up in New York, he'll become a superstar. Oh. Well, we're about to find out.
Oh, it moved Evan last night when he stole third after getting hurt.
I understand. I think it was a great trade, and we'll get to that coming up as well. But the way they won on Saturday, the back-and-forth nature of Saturday, the bad, bad base running by Juan Soto, where he blew by Luis Rojas the way me and Craig would blow by him in awkward interviews. He tells me to stop. I just keep going. It was me and Juan have something very in common.
I don't blame Juan for that
either. We don't respect Luis Rojas.
I don't blame Juan. The hell with it. I'm never getting home if I'm on third anyway.
But the way they won that game, with Trent Grisham, of all people, coming through the way he did, with Clay Holmes delivering by pitching the 10th inning, I thought everything about Saturday night's victory against Boston, and you combine it with backing it up by winning Sunday.
How about Gleyber in extra innings, too?
No doubt. Combine that with the trade for Jazz Chisholm, and I'll tell you another thing I combine it with, and this is my heart speaking, my baseball heart, because I'm certainly not a Yankee fan. this funk began in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it ends in Boston. So much like I think the Mets may have had a moment on Friday that unfortunately could be that lightning rod of their season, I think the Yankees definitely had one over the weekend. And I would be very, 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 very confident and feeling good based on those things I just described.
I am confident, Evan. Now, I'm going to hold my breath about the bullpen until we see what they do over the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. But how could you not? And full disclosure, I'll raise my hand. I admitted this yesterday. I shut it off at 8-6 on Saturday night.
What?
I shut the game off.
What?
I was so disgusted with what happened on Friday night.
What kind of fan are you?
A real fan that's had enough.
You shut the game off at 8-6 at Fenway. It was a back-and-forth game all night.
Now, Evan, because I work with Evan Roberts and I've learned to be a different kind of fan this year, was the game DVR'd and did I go back no problem? Yes, it was.
Yeah, but when you went back, did you already know the result?
I did.
That's cheating.
It's not cheating. It's not cheating. Evan, what happened Friday night was deplorable. That almost felt like a further cementing ending to the season. Holmes can't get an out.
I agree.
It was awful. So when they come back, tie the game, and they give it back, and it gets to 8-6 on Saturday night, I turned to my wife. I said, let's go to Apple TV and finish Presumed Innocent. I had enough.
So that's where you went.
I went. I finished that show. It's 12:30 Saturday night, and I checked my phone to like 44 text messages, and I said, no. No, they didn't.
I'm very disappointed.
No, they didn't. And I went back, and guess what? I saw everything.
Yeah, but that's going to be the story now. If the Yankees win the World Series, fulfill my prediction at least of winning the American League East, the game everybody talks about, the sequences everyone talks about, you didn't even see live because you were watching some dopey show on Apple TV.
Great show. Great job. Jake Gyllenhaal deserves all the awards. But Evan, I had enough. How much bad baseball and blown leads do I need to see?
I understand.
They were lifeless at the end of that game until they weren't.
But that's not true. They scored a run in the seventh. They scored a run in the eighth. They tied the game in the ninth.
Clay Holmes having those two innings, I was shocked. Stunned. My face could have been stapled to the carpet. I wouldn't have been more surprised.
I was stunned too, but you're right in that kind of win feels like a game turner.
And then to back it up by
winning on Sunday.
And
I give Carlos Rodon a lot of credit because I thought he was imploding in that fourth
inning. Bingo.
When he gave up the home runs on the triple to Devers. Yeah. And when he got out of that inning, I was like, holy crap.
That was unbelievable. That was the bet for a guy. I guess the way I want to word this. The best inning I've ever seen a pitcher give up that gave up three essential bombs because the Devers shot was too.
Yes.
To get out of that showed guts. That's the kind of guts you need to pitch in the playoffs. I stole a long way from trusting him, but the last thing the Yankees needed when they took the field last night off of what happened Saturday was to go out there and Carlos Rodon give you, especially when they scored three in the first, give you one of those moments like he's had all year where boom, 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 long balls in the first, second inning. He didn't do that. That win is all on Carlos Rodon. And yesterday, in many ways, because of what happened Saturday night, it felt like reopening day.
I completely agree with you. So to the Yankee fans out there, and we've talked to you a lot over the last month during this horrid stretch, who thought they stink, they're broken, they can't be fixed. Are you with me and Sean that win on Saturday and combine it with the Jazz Chisholm trade and combine it with winning on Sunday may be the moment where everything turns for the good? We'll hear from the Yankee fans, 888-808-1019. And to my fellow Met fan, it's not about being negative. It's about describing real life emotions. Everything that happened on Friday night, not Sal's tweet. I exonerate him. At least I do as a Met fan. But Senga going down, the crowd just dying, them looking lifeless on Saturday and Sunday. I am deeply worried that much like that three-game series against the Nationals in 2019, where Michael Conforto had his shirt ripped off and Todd Frazier hit that dramatic game-tying home run, that was the high water mark and it was all downhill after that. I worry the same is true for the Mets. How is the Met fan feeling as we are one day away from the MLB trade deadline? We'll take your temperature coming up, 888-808-1019. We will get into the trade deadline, what the Mets won't do, what the Yankees should do, and our reaction to Jazz Chisholm, who I believe just needed the opportunity in New York City to become a star.
How do you say his name?
Jazz Chisholm.
Okay.
I won't fail this one. Justin Shackle may struggle.
Oh, they're sweating.
John Sterling has struggled.
Jazz Chisholm.
Marco Belletti may struggle.
Ricky tonight.
Ricky Ricardo may struggle. Craig Carton will probably on purpose struggle.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I know the man's name, Jezardo Arthur Chisholm. We will keep you posted throughout the day today and tomorrow on the MLB trade deadline. There was a rather significant trade in the last half hour, and I bring it up because it involves guys that were potentially targets of both the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, and that's a three-way trade between the White Sox, the Dodgers, and the Cardinals, where the Cardinals are bringing back Tommy Pham, and they're acquiring Eric Fetty, who is a guy that the Mets were not only targeting during the offseason as a depth starting pitcher, but here at the trade deadline from the Chicago White Sox. Fetty's had a very solid year, and he doesn't make a lot of money. Certainly would have been a good addition for this rotation. So the Cardinals, a team behind the Mets in the standings, get better. They acquire Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. The Dodgers picked up Tommy Edman, a guy who the Yankees were potentially interested in, despite still being on the injured list, though he is on a rehab assignment. Very versatile player, can play the infield, can play the outfield. And the Dodgers also got Michael Kopech and the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox got a bunch of prospects. So a couple of guys that have been at least linked to both the Mets and the Yankees as we approach the trade deadline.
And the Cardinals clearly still invested in trying to get one of those wild cards the Mets are vying for, which is, by the way, how many times is Tommy Pham going to be moved around the major leagues?
Yeah. He's all over the place,
15
man.
15 fantasy football leagues by now. Every locker room he's in,
well,
crazy.
Tommy should have known when he signed with the Chicago White Sox that he probably wasn't going to get past July 30th. That seemed pretty obvious. But both guys, Tommy Edman was linked to the Yankees this morning. It was sort of surprising because I thought with the acquisition of Jazz Chisholm that maybe the focus turns more to pitching, whether it's a big bullpen arm, whether it's multiple bullpen arms. It's not to say the Yankees couldn't use another bat, but I think Jazz Chisholm, and it's a part of why I love this trade, helps kind of fix those issues.
Yes, and if they're turning to a bat, it's for a corner infielder, not for a second base shortstop outfield.
Tommy Edman could have played third base. He's done it before. Remember, the reason he hasn't played third base in a long time is because they got Nolan Arenado.
Okay.
So I think he could have played third base, but let's start with that with Jazz Chisholm. So when the trade goes down, and I found out at the Met game, because I remember turning to my dad saying, they got Jazz Chisholm.
Right.
And my thought was, wow, I have a chance to be right about my prediction, which is, I think Jazz, and I'll say it again, I think Jazz Chisholm still has superstar potential. He has not fulfilled that. He's been a little overhyped. He shouldn't have been on the cover of MLB The Show, but he's got it all. And I really believe in the right situation, with the right leadership, in the right ballpark, with the right franchise. And yeah, I think the Yankees qualify on all those fronts. I think he's got a chance to be a star. So when I saw what they gave up, and look, Augustin Ramirez is a prospect. He's a catcher. He can hit. It's not the end of the world.
No.
But you gave up one top prospect and a few other younger players. I didn't think the return was that bad. And I just love the upside potential of what Jazz Chisholm could be in the right locker room with the right superstars guiding him in the right ballpark.
Right. And remember, there's a chance they did give up a lot. I know Ramirez is 20th in their system now, but that's not updated in
season. No, he's a top five prospect. I don't care what that. Whoever said he's 20th is ridiculous.
Right. Well, he was preseason. And that changes, clearly.
Yeah.
But look, he's a guy where he's under control. Gleyber Torres, whatever happens over the next couple of days, and you know more on him later, not going to be on the team next year.
Mm-hmm.
He fits the bill of an energetic guy who could fly around the bases like we saw last night, can play second base, but his versatility is used in injuries, played center field last night. I think this is a perfect fit. Now, he strikes out a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it fits, but so does half of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, he comes off the plane, hits fifth. Maybe this is the answer if Volpe isn't at leadoff, but either way, it is the exact kind of player, the energy, the speed, the Yankees barely steal any bases. This is the kind of player the Yankees need.
I love it. A lefty guy with pop, with speed, with athleticism. And let's stick with athleticism for a second. When you're athletic, you could play anywhere. When you're that damn gifted athletically, and you're a shortstop, and remember, he came up as a shortstop. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about athletic shortstops. They will find a way to play well anywhere. So let's start with third base.
Okay.
Jazz Chisholm can play third base, even if we've never seen him play third
base.
This
is where I'm going to push back.
Trust me, that kid will learn to play third base. He already has the right attitude, which is, dude, put me anywhere. So all those reports about, oh, he's a problem in the locker room, no one has ever cited specifically what the problem is, because his first impression of Yankee fans is, oh, I'll play anywhere.
I love it. I love that. But, Evan, that is saying you can do it, having the ability to do it, and then actually doing it are three completely different things. I don't deny that he has the athleticism to figure out how to play third base when you come up as a shortstop. But he could also be a disaster there. I mean, Gleyber Torres was a natural shortstop. He went to play shortstop, and he was a disaster.
Let me tell you something about Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres has had a nice little career. He'll get some kind of money in free agency. We got a lot to say about Gleyber as the show rolls on. He ain't the athlete Jazz Chisholm.
Okay. Regardless
of that,
I'm
telling
you
right now.
The hot corner Yankees did him. We almost take for granted what Alex Rodriguez did, sliding over from shortstop to third base, no questions asked. By the way, same kind of attitude, same kind of number, playing third base for the New York Yankees. That was also preseason prepping spring training. Getting thrust into a pennant race in August and playing third base where you haven't played a single game in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That is a lot. I mean, we've seen DJ LeMahieu make bad errors there late.
I'm not saying, Sean, he's going to be perfect, obviously. I think he's going to learn on the fly. Is that ideal? No, of course you would have loved the spring training.
What can't have happen is the net loss of whatever runs he creates. Like last night might have been meaningless. He created a run on his own. And, you know, he's net defensively playing third base.
I don't think he'd be
that. It worries me, man.
I don't think he'd be that bad. And I think he's already given you that right attitude of stick me anywhere. This is a kid who came up as a shortstop. They moved him to second base. Then they moved him to center field. Like, he's played everywhere.
Yeah, and so, center field's a little shaky, too.
No, I'm not saying he's a gold glover. Again, I'm not suggesting he's going to win a gold glove. I'm suggesting he can do it. And I think he's exactly what the Yankees needed. And honestly, I'm glad they did it. Because it really annoyed me, if you couldn't tell last week, when that report came out, unnamed. You know, they're concerned about him in the locker room. Meanwhile, Jazz Chisholm walks into the locker room, has the right attitude immediately, and says, play me anywhere. And I do think with the bright lights, with Yankee Stadium short porch, where you already see the math, he would have 19 home runs this season as opposed to whatever he has now, 11 or 12. I think he is so perfect for this team. I love that move for the Yankees.
It is the best.
Love it.
The best trade in season that Brian Cashman has made since they acquired Anthony Rizzo.
Since they acquired Anthony Rizzo. So a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm in on the trade. I love it. I absolutely think this guy's the fly. I can't wait to get a Jazz shirt. I can't wait to see what Bull Vinny cooks up with his name. I'm so in on this move.
Yeah, it's so funny. As you said, this is the best trade they've made in the Brian Cashman era since. I was expecting something like really poetic, like, oh, since David Justice.
No.
And he basically gives us 5 minutes ago.
That's the best trade he's made at the deadline since last week. It's three deadlines ago. The point is, we have felt underwhelmed, and I know that 2 years ago wasn't all his fault. We have felt underwhelmed at deadlines. That was a Yankee-like move.
I like it. I actually think it was un-Yankee-like, because sometimes the Yankees have been afraid of unsubstantiated rumors concerning locker rooms. And I think the Yankees added talent, and they're not done yet. And the other thing I thought of, and you kind of mentioned it, is that forget this year, because I don't think the Yankees are trading Gleyber Torres before the deadline. You never know, but I don't think they are. Gleyber Torres has now written the death sentence as a New York Yankee.
Yes.
He will not be a New York Yankee in 2025. And I thought going into this, there was about a 30% chance they'd bring him back. Now I think there's about a 0.0001% chance he's brought back.
No, he's absolutely gone. And right now he's hitting. Now I could do without some of the fielding. The Yankees still would. The best offense is clearly Jazz at third, him at second. I'll go a step further. If they find a third baseman and don't find a taker, I don't care if Gleyber Torres is to play once, twice a week and is on the bench. The bench has been so bad either. Use Gleyber Torres more as an asset the rest of the
year. That's the other thing about Jazz Chisholm that I love. Jazz Chisholm could force Aaron Boone to bench anyone on this team.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you just laid out a scenario with Gleyber Torres. Jazz Chisholm could become the everyday second baseman. Not realistic, but Anthony Volpe really struggles.
Right.
Jazz Chisholm could become the everyday shortstop.
Right.
Alex Verdugo, not really a dog. Jazz Chisholm could become the everyday left fielder. Jazz Chisholm is like the guy who could just take anybody's job.
Yeah.
Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, you were waiting for that, weren't you? I'm so excited that the Yankees traded for Jazz Chisholm. Not only because of those mistakes that are potentially going to arise, but like I said last week, I'm high on him. I think he's got a chance to be a star here. But boy, those mistakes. And I heard we've had a few struggles right out of the gate.
Yes, we have. I screwed
up. Gerardo Bernice Arrington Chisholm.
Marco Belletti, a big blunder.
I heard it like ruined his entire show. Like he had to stop the show in the middle of it.
Oh, come on.
I can't talk anymore.
He didn't do that.
No, that didn't happen.
Oh, I hope not.
I'm sure he overcame it fine. But look, it's tricky.
Yeah.
You know what makes Jazz Chisholm's name very tricky?
Jazz isn't a normal first name.
The Z's. The Z's make you want to say Jism. Like it moves your mouth in this weird way that makes you say the other word. True story.
Are you showing off right now, Evan?
What?
Or are you just infatuated with Jazz Chisholm? Because you've said his name 500 times in the last 36 minutes.
Do you want me to answer that question honestly?
Yes.
I'm showing off.
That's what I thought.
I want to show America you don't have to be afraid.
Wow.
Jazz Chisholm. Who's going to play third base? Jazz Chisholm. Who's going to play second base? Jazz Chisholm. Who's going to be the DH? Jazz Chisholm. Who's my favorite Yankee? Jazz Chisholm. Who's wearing number 13? Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
I'm a loser.
Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
Every single personality on WFAN between now and mid-October will say Jazz Chisholm.
Well, you just did, so you're done.
Well, I did yesterday accidentally already.
Did you already?
I did. I started laughing. I'm like, damn it, it already got me on day one.
Let's get to some of your calls. Did the Yankees and Mets have moments that turned their season for the Mets in a bad way, for the Yankees in a good way? Toll-free number is 888-808-1019 and a lot more on the trade deadline, including why the Mets are going to do nothing and you're going to like it. Let's go to Tom in Lake Hiawatha. How you been today, Tom?
Doing good, Evan. I'm here to ease your troubled heart.
Please.
I have been a Mets fan since 1962, from Rod Kneale to Daniel Vogelbach. I have seen it. I have seen it all. I'm going to go back to the year when I was getting ready for my sophomore year in high school. The Mets had two in 1969. They had a three-game series in New York. They win two out of three. Tom Seaver almost pitches a perfect game. Next week, they go to Chicago. They win two out of three. Al Weiss hits two home runs. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to catch him. We're going to catch him. We're going to do great. The Mets then proceed to only win 11 out of the next 25 games. Middle of August, they drop to third place, and they are 9.5 games out of first. I'm thinking, like you are today, oh, my gosh, those two three-game series, was that the peak of the year?
Right.
Well, what happened after that? They won 30 out of 40. And keep in mind, there is no wild card then. You either win the pennant and you go to World Series or you go home. They do it. They win the whole thing.
But Tom, I love the story. I really do. I appreciate the story. Here's why it doesn't work for me. And it's not going to change my heart. Because while you have 1969, I have 2019. And the reason I bring up 2019 was 2019, kind of a forgotten about year in Met history, but the Mets were burying themselves. At one point, they were 11 games under 500 in the middle of July. It was just another bad season, right?
11 games under.
Yes, 11 games under. I'd have to look up and see if they ever got any further than 11 games under 500. They may not have. I don't know.
Right.
But they were 11 games under 500 in the middle of July, and then the Mets got hot. They started playing really, really well. And the crescendo on their hotness was a three-game series at Citi Field against the Washington Nationals. The first game of that series is in my book, My Mets Bible. That's a very famous game in my life. That's when I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the game.
Oh.
Spent a few innings with the scorebook in there.
That was listening to the radio broadcast?
Listening to the radio broadcast. That was also the game that you may recall, Todd Frazier hit a game-tying home run.
You let your shorts touch the ground in that spot, or they hang onto your knees?
No, I always make sure it's like kind of around my my knees.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so that's a dirty floor.
No, you can't let, come on. You think I'm disgusting?
I do, actually.
You do?
I do. I mean, you strike me as, I would think many would agree, the most disgusting person on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Tiki's obviously not disgusting, so that's easy. Lugie, I think, pretends to be really clean and organized, but I bet you he's a pig. That'd be my prediction.
Yeah, he doesn't clean up after himself for sure. His wife has to do everything for sure.
You, I think the stereotype would be you're a pig just because of the weight.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true at all.
No.
I bet you keep yourself pretty clean.
I do.
Now, I keep myself very clean. Remember, as Boomer would tell you, I took the bird bath. Okay, so who, I mean, if you don't take yourself seriously in terms of cleaning yourself, who takes a bird bath? But anyhow, I apologize. Let me get to my point.
Yeah, I forgot what it was.
The Mets won this dramatic game against the Nationals. Citi Field was sold out that night. They announced 40,000 people or whatever it was. They backed it up the next night. I think they went on a Luis Guillorme home run, something great. And that was the high water mark. And then they lost the finale of that series late, and they went through a tailspin. And they were never the same. And so as much as Tom will cite 1969, I wasn't even born. I remember a year similar to this in 2019 where they had the crescendo, they had the amazing moment, and then something happened that kind of led to the failures. And when we think about 2019, we think about, they won 86 games or whatever it was. They missed the playoffs.
Okay.
And they never recaptured the magic from that series against the Nats.
So all of that is true. There's a sixth wild card now, Evan.
There's a sixth wild card. There's three wild cards, not six wild cards.
Well, you know what I mean. There's a sixth playoff spot. There's three wild cards now. The Mets coming up and having everything happen. And also, let's be honest, David Stearns already showed that he believes some on the team when you add Jesse Winker. They're going to do something else over the next 2 days. This team is going to have enough to at least capture the final wild card spot at this
point. Why don't you just completely steal Lugie's take and say that I should clear my October schedule? Do that.
No, because all you have to clear is like 2 days in October, not your entire October schedule.
I knew that was
like
coming.
I'm not telling you there's a big ceiling on the Mets, but you know you'll cute around for 2-3 days.
He's like, just clear a couple of days first
that's
week
it.
Of October.
No, the first week, that's it. You have a little apple cider, you'll be out before you know it. But at least you'll get there.
You know, I'm so disappointed in you, Evan. When Steve Cohen bought this team, we were all excited. Why? Because he represented optimism. He represented hope. So stop citing eras from the past. It has nothing to do with it. The Patriots stunk forever. Then they were a dynasty. There was a time in this town where the Yankees couldn't draw 15 people in their park. Look it up, kids. So things can change. Stop citing what happened in the past. It's about the present, and it's about the future. Everything that happened in the past means nothing when it comes to this team. Mets fans deserve nice things.
Let's go to Andrew in Valley Stream. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up? Long time listener, first time caller. So I'm a big Yankee fan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah? Want to try to finish your point, or are we going to have to let you go? Oh, that sucks. What was his point? You screened the call. I feel bad whenever we drop someone after they waited for 22 minutes.
I don't know.
Do you remember his point?
I don't.
His phone line was a lot like DJ LeMahieu's bat, though.
Oh, no, I do remember his point.
Thank you, Tommy.
He thought that Boone should have pulled Rodon earlier in that game, and Sean and I are in a group chat. There were a few Yankee fans in there that thought the same way.
Oh, in the bottom of the fourth?
Correct. When he was
ridiculous.
Homer, homer, triple. He thought he should have got pulled.
The bullpen was taxed over the last two days.
Are you yelling at me? I'm not Andrew. I'm just telling you what the kid wanted to say.
It's a stupid point. You had to let Rodon battle because you had no arms left.
Yeah, so I thought the same thing.
You're lucky you got the last two innings. Thank God for Jake Cousins.
Just walk ourselves through this thing. So the Yankees have a 4-0 lead. Just go back into the moment for a second.
Okay.
I'll set this up for everybody. Or were you there or just stop the game?
No.
And say I'm going to watch some TV
show. I was in my pool tube watching.
All right. Well, that's a good place to be. So the Yankees are up 4-0. They score those three runs early. Gleyber Torres with a big hit. Everybody's happy. Carlos Rodon looks good. In the fourth inning, he gives a back-to-back home runs to Rob Refsnyder and Connor Wong. Mm-hmm. It's 4-2. Okay. Rafael Devers triples off the fence in left field. 4-2, runner on third, nobody out. My thought at the time was not to pull him, but was, I'd get my bullpen warmed up right now. And not because, like, you're right, they were going to be shorthanded. Obviously, Clay Holmes wasn't available. But I'm starting to have that panic of, oh, my God, he's going to implode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the game is going to get out of hand. I wouldn't have pulled him there, and he didn't. Would I have taken a deep breath and say, okay, let me prepare myself in case Tyler O'Neill blasts one up the alley and Romy Gonzalez drives one over the monster? Yes. But to Rodon's credit, I'm just covering all of them. He stepped up, man, and he showed a lot of guts and changed the complexion of that game.
So baseball managers, and this is the old cliche, right, when it comes to the bullpen, you got to manage for 162 games, right, not game to game. I think Aaron Boone knew what I think I knew, and I think most Yankee fans knew who had any brain on their shoulders, which was if you have to get the bullpen up and go to them in the fourth inning there after what happened the previous 2 days, you're losing the game.
I understand, but
the best path to win was Rodon had to figure it out, which he did.
So your attitude was, you know what, screw it, Carlos, you're out here, go figure it out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't like having that attitude because I don't trust him, but based on the previous 2 days, there's no way they were winning that game if they went to the bullpen in the fourth inning.
No, I understand what you're saying. I had that same thought of worry in the bottom of the fourth inning, which is why when you look back at a game they won 8-2, that was the biggest moment of the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't only scoring the three in the first, which was also big, but Carlos, who I still look at and wonder if he can handle the bright lights. Look, last night he did handle the bright lights.
He did. Can we have a real conversation?
No, you still don't trust him. That's fine.
I also don't like the peering into the dugout, like the smugness. He walks off the field like, I told you I had a... Calm down. We've seen you not have it plenty of other times.
Now let the
He's already had the moments where he's been angry about getting taken off the mound. I don't like that with him.
Let him be excited. He pitched well.
It's not about
why are you being a jerk?
There's a difference between being excited and having this smug, like, why would you ever... That was like the visual he was giving. Why would you think I couldn't do
that? I think you're doing fan fiction on Carlos.
I read his eyes. I don't like his eyes.
Okay. Let's go to Rick in Massapequa. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, guys. Just going on. Actually wanted to talk about what you were saying, Evan, about this weekend, about the turning point,
yeah,
or the possible turning point. It seems like the Mets and the Yankees, Mets are in a good streak, Yankees are in a tough streak. Mets are in a tough streak, Yankees are in a good streak. It seems like they're both going back and forth. So if you like both teams and you can root on both teams, that's actually a pretty good year. Not my cup of tea as a Met fan. You know, how about if this is a turning point and the Mets actually do go through this another rut here?
Right.
We had so many pieces to trade. Look at what these teams are getting for, like, the Mets would have traded, like, 5 or 6 guys, right? We would have gotten, like, a whole farm system.
I know, but Rick, you're right about your overall point, which is, hey, if the Mets went into this market and sold, they sold Jose Quintana, and they sold Luis Severino, and they had a lot of pieces to sell. But JD Martinez, sure, even though he's been slumping. When you're in a wild card race, when you're right there, and look, Sean's point, I kind of agree with, when you look at the other teams you're competing with, they're all flawed. Like, how could you do it? How could you give up the opportunity to make the postseason, maybe get hot at the right time, just to get a collection of prospects back? Like, I get what you're saying, but it never would have made sense to do it.
No, you're right. We reached the point of no return on that where it doesn't make sense. But on the flip side, if you believe in this team enough that you weren't willing to sell these guys in the one-year deal, then you can't not go the other way. Like, this can't be half in the water here.
Oh, I completely disagree with you.
Really? See, I think to me, you're not going to trade these guys. You better show this team than you add.
When we come back, I'll tell you why Sean's wrong. I heard Sal make this point earlier, another great Met fan. Not that you're a great Met fan, but he is.
I'm not any kind of Met fan.
Despite the heat that poor Sal's getting
for
an innocent little humorous tweet.
I do want to say, though, Evan.
What?
The record since the Sal tweet, Mets 0-2, Yankees 2-0.
Yeah.
That was a pivotal turning point in New York.
Okay. Don't pile on. He was trying to make a funny on Friday night.
The NL East is over.
But Sal made the same point as you. And that is, hey, if you believe in the team, you got to go for it. You got to go all in. You can't go halfway. We come back, I'll tell you why all you guys are wrong. It's okay to be half pregnant. Your call's coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus more on Jazz Chisholm and the fact that he already has made one very controversial decision we will discuss. Evan and Tiki. Tiki off. He returns tomorrow. Sean Morash in the bigger chair.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.